glad to be here with you this morning. We're in the Gospel of John. I kind of feel bad, Marilyn. You sang and then you read. Do you want to preach? I mean, you want to sit down? Okay, please do. All right, I'll preach today. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for this time together and your words before us. Help us, Spirit, be attentive to what it is that you would say. Help us to shed any hindrance that would keep us from hearing you this day. Lord, we pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think that Pastor Corey and I have done you a disservice in the introduction to the Gospel of John. And so perhaps we owe you an apology. We've been remiss in telling you that Jesus, as he's talked about and as John unfolds his person and work, well, that he's exclusive. And you might even say, in a world of tolerance, intolerant. Because in the Gospel of John is very clear with his purpose. Pastor Corey and I have told you that, to set Jesus as the Messiah, the one in whom and through whom and for whom we live and exist and find salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that, what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So on the one hand, there is an invitation to the whole world to believe in Jesus Christ, that we would not perish. This is talk about eternal life, about salvation. And then you fast forward to John 14. By the way, that's the most quoted and read verse, even above Psalm 23, believe it or not, when it comes to memorial services. Jesus is with the disciples. He's telling him he's leaving them, but he's not going to leave them orphaned or abandoned. He's going to prepare a place for them. And that place they know. And so Jesus says, if I prepare a place for you, then I will come back to you. There's mansions, many mansions I'm preparing for you, and you have a place there. And that part, people go, that is so comforting to know that Christ has prepared a place for me, that Christ has prepared a place for my loved one. But then we get to chapter 14 and verse 6. Do you know what that verse reads? You're way ahead of me, I know, because you have your Bibles in front of you, and you've already flipped ahead to John chapter 14 and verse 6, haven't you? No? But there's an opportunity still. Jesus then says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That seems pretty exclusive. That seems pretty intolerant. Because when Jesus sets himself, when John talks about Jesus' person and work, when God orchestrates his plan of salvation for humankind, it is only through Jesus Christ. And this is what John is getting at today. In this text, John begins by saying, through him, this is the Word, this is Jesus, through him, all things were made. This is a positive application of Jesus' supremacy and preexistence. Everything that now is, which was not. Remember we talked last week, creation, there was nothing, and from it came something. That's creation. So there's nothing that's in existence today that came from this space, then, that Jesus didn't create. All were made from the beginning, specifically here denoting origin. In the beginning begins the Gospel of John. This is the act of creation. Through him, all things were made. And then the negative application of the same statement that Jesus has created everything, John says, without him, the Word, Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. Seems pretty exclusive to me. All, superlative, nothing, a superlative. Without him, without Jesus, the work of creation would not have happened. Nothing, something. Nothing denotes that not one thing that is now in existence, that is, once was, wasn't. You see what's happening here, what John is doing? John is saying clearly that Jesus is creator and the only creator. Now, of course, we know that the Word exists in the beginning with the Father and the Spirit. We can't ignore this Trinitarian language. But it is Jesus who has made everything, has been made. The verb changes here from all things were made to without him nothing was made to signify a move from the act of creation to the state of creation. So not only in the beginning, but now and forevermore, Jesus is creator. At creation, in creation, nothing was made without Jesus. So then Jesus becomes, in our theological technical talk, the mediating agent of creation. Well, what does that mean? Luckily, the writer of Hebrews helps us. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there to Hebrews 1, or I'll read it for us. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. You see what the writer of Hebrews is reminding us, telling us, picking up, I think, maybe even from this passage in the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the mediating agent. It was in Jesus and through Jesus and for Jesus that things that were non-existent here came into existence. And then in verse 3 in Hebrews 1, the writer says, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and, get this is going to sound familiar to you, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Christ created and Christ is still creating among us forever and ever. In Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. It turns out it's still all about Jesus. So what does this mean then? What do we do with a verse like John 1:3? How do we capture that for our personal application? As we walk out of here today, my assumption is that God's promise that his word goes out but doesn't return void will be in effect, that this verse will change us, having heard it. So how? Where do we need to get our minds? In Colossians, as Marilyn read for us, we're reminded of the supremacy of Christ. She read, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Image. Exact representation, says the writer of Hebrews, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, in him, through him, for him. Paul provides a little bit more clarity for us as we begin to understand the importance of Jesus in creation. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Christ didn't create and then leave the building. Christ created and still is the supreme one, the one who enacts and enables and encourages and empowers faith and life. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. From creation to redemption. From creation to the new covenant, that is our salvation in the cup of the blood of Christ. By in Jesus, I think that both John and Paul mean in the person of Jesus. In Jesus is talking to the personal aspect of Jesus' act in creation. It is Jesus himself, the person, who is with the Father and the Spirit in the beginning. This is important for us to remember and know. This sets Christ apart from all other world religions. Others who would say they have the truth. Others who would say they have a faith expression that leads to salvation. Furthermore, it is in the person of Jesus himself that the new covenant would come. Think about this. This is where we live now, in Christ Jesus. One of Paul's mantras throughout his epistles is, Christ in you, or be in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus comes salvation. That is, in the person of Jesus himself. It took God the Creator to step into human form. We call that the incarnation, that he would be an appropriate sacrifice for us. God, because it took God to die in our place. Human, because it took an appropriate substitution, a human, to die in our place. And so it is we live now as those who are experiencing the redemption into new life through the new covenant in the blood of Christ. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will be. It will be in the person of Jesus that God restores his final creation. Think about that. What a gift. The new heavens and the new earth will be ushered in by none other than, you got it, Jesus. Creator, Redeemer, Second Coming. Christ throughout. That's why Jesus can boldly proclaim, I, the person, himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. Yes, of course you are, Jesus. Of course you are the way and the truth and the life. It is you. It is your person. The creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of all time. That is the way to the Father. We can't underestimate the importance of these little prepositions when it comes to the application of Jesus. in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, through Jesus. I think what the author here means, Paul in particular, through Jesus, that is through the works of Jesus. You may hear me say, or Pastor Corey say, it's through the person, very important, and the works of Christ that we find salvation. In Jesus, the personal, through the works of Jesus, through denotes the effectual aspect of Jesus' act in creation. So effectual simply means that it was God who was effective in the mediating agent of Jesus to create. So here Paul declares to the Colossians the importance of Jesus' work. The work was creation. What other work has Jesus accomplished for us? Are you following me? What other work has Jesus accomplished for us? Well, redemption, of course. It was Christ's work on the cross, his person and work. And it was Christ's work over Satan and death that accomplished for us salvation, redemption. None other has done this. No other God in all of creation throughout time, including today, has done such work. I challenge you to find in another expression of faith this work. You won't be able to do it. This is again why Jesus is exclusive and can say, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. And no one comes to me, or no one comes to the Father, except through me. Through Jesus, his work. In Jesus, his person. And here's the kicker. You know, I've already said, as kind of a warning label affixed to the Gospel of John, we probably should have done this last week or the week before, so sorry. But if you're going to be a student of the Gospel of John, you're going to find yourself battling at times against the world that seeks to be tolerant of all expressions of faith. And by tolerant, I don't mean just accepting. I mean by proclaiming or ascribing to them truth. This work of Christ, his person, his effectual work, is all for his sake. What do you mean? It's not for me. That's what I was taught. Jesus died for me. In fact, I prayed that prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. But here's the reality. It's not only in Jesus and through Jesus, but it's for Jesus that Jesus created. It's for Jesus that Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And it's for Jesus that he will return again. This for denotes the intentional aspect of Jesus' act in creation. Personal, effectual, and now intentional. God created for whose glory? Anybody? You with me? For Christ's glory. God created for Christ's glory. Jesus created for his own glory. Jesus died for whose glory? For our glory? No. For his glory. Jesus conquered the grave. For whose glory? You're with me, right? For his glory. And Jesus will come again. For whose glory? For the glory of Christ Jesus. It's all for Jesus. Yes, we are the beneficiaries of his grace, no doubt. But God acts for God's good pleasure. God acts for the glory and honor of God. And so here we are in the Gospel of John. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In the person of Jesus, through the works of Jesus, and for the glory of Jesus. God is, God was, and God will be. Amen. Please stand now as we join together in singing our hymn.